Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 2. I invite you to stand. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
While we are standing, our scripture lesson for the sermon continues in Luke chapter 2. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us join together and ask His blessing. Heavenly Father, be present among us, for Your Word is before us. Walk among us and open our ears and enliven the members of our bodies to be Your ready servants. Shape us by Your Word and by Your Spirit. We'll trust You for this, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, when we come to passages like this, we find both the majestic and the mundane. We find that which is eternal and that which is rather earthy. We find grand matters as well as little details. Augustine once commented on one's approach to studying the Bible, approaching the Bible, understanding God's Word. And Augustine said that the Scriptures are very much like a very grand palace with very low doors. In order to enter the grand palace, one needs to humble oneself to enter those low doors of the grand palace. Scripture, this passage, the majestic and the mundane, the eternal as well as the earthy. Great matters as well as little details. And we have before us today this wondrous passage. As that one little girl said to me, "How about the first Christmas, Pastor?" A wondrous passage concerning a decree from Caesar Augustus. That tax census. We have the traveling of Joseph and expectant Mary. They head to and they arrive in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph is of the family of King David. There's a hint of the king right there. All of this is according to a script. Let me be more precise. All of this is according to Scripture. All of this is according to the Scripture. Bethlehem means house of bread, and that's where Jesus was born. Jesus, the bread of life. And while they were there, the days of Mary's pregnancy were completed. She was ready to give birth. This child, their son, was going to make his first appearance in the flesh. Joseph and Mary were going to meet their son. Majestic, wondrous, a baby. They would touch him. They would wrap him. They would hold him. And they would wonder about him and about all of this, and Mary especially would ponder in her heart all these things that have been said about her son. The one who formed all things was here himself formed and brought forth. The creator of all entered into and became part of creation and was made flesh. The eternal one enters time at a certain time in a certain place. Oh, Augustine, once again, amazed by the majestic and the mundane, the eternal and the earthy. Augustine, again, the creator of heaven and earth, he was born on earth under heaven. Augustine continues, unspeakably wise, he is wisely speechless. Filling the world, he lies in a manger. Ruler of the stars, he nurses at his mother's bosom. He is both great in the nature of God and small in the form of a servant. Great and small. Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher, speaking of the wonder of Christmas, this is what he said. Oh, infinite and an infant, eternal and yet born of a woman, supporting a universe and yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms, King of angels and yet the reputed son of Joseph, heir of all things, yet the carpenter's despised son. Spurgeon then said, oh, the wonder of Christmas, the majestic and the mundane. We could easily join together right now and wonder along with that hymn, what child is this? Oh, that's a question, an exclamation. What child is this? Let us praise what child this is. This one is the creator of the world and enters a virgin's womb. He goes from a womb then to a wrapping, to actually being wrapped. He is actually acted upon, wrapped by mother, by father. The child is brought forth, wrapped up, swaddled in cloth, and laid in a manger? How mundane is this? How earthy is this? How low is this? Where's the grand palace? Laid in a manger. Luke mentions the manger. Matter of fact, Luke is the only one that mentions the manger. And he mentions it three times here. Three times here. Verse 7. They laid him in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn. Verse 12. This will be the sign too. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then again in verse 16. And they, the shepherds, came hurriedly. They rushed. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Three times. Once, twice, three times. We are supposed to lean into this. We are supposed to wonder about the manger. What is the manger? Some people think it's the place, the larger place. Some people think it's something even like a cave, a manger. This particular Greek word actually means feeding trough. We are directed as we lean into this. Three times, manger, manger, manger. We are leaning into this and we are directed to a place for animals. That's what we're directed unto. According to one theologian, this is what he had to say. The word for inn, remember there's no room for them in the inn, has several meanings. It's likely that they were in fact, this is Joseph, Mary, and the babe, on the ground floor of a house where people normally stayed upstairs. That would have been the inn. That's where the normal dry, elevated residences were. This theologian goes on, the ground floor would often be used for animals, a garage type of place. Hence, there, on that lower level, the manger or feeding trough, which came in handy for the baby. Travelers came to the inn. Where would they park their transportation? Where then would they stay? Well, there was no room for them in the inn, so they were brought low. Manger. We are leaning into this and we are directed toward the animals, and we ought to be thinking of animals. A place for animals. And the birth of this one, we ought to be thinking of something new. This is new. This has never been done before. So as we consider this script, and as we consider the scriptures, we should not be surprised that something new and astonishing is actually occurring here. Creation. At the first creation, a new world was populated on days 5 and 6 with animals. Creation. That creation was destroyed and a new world was ushered in. When the world was made new then, a new world was made. Before and during and after that flood, Noah's flood, animals were present. We are directed toward the animals, not just at creation, but now at this new world. Oh, and then there's also renewal. Renewal. When the Lord brought about newness and renewal to that city named Nineveh, we should not be surprised to hear the Lord speak of His care for Nineveh. The Lord speaks to the prophet, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? Likely little children. Which is your right hand, which is your left? It's a large city, capital of Assyria. The Lord is concerned, and He's bringing renewal to Nineveh. Oh, and the Lord goes on. Should I not pity Nineveh, which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, as well as much livestock? Why is the Lord concerned about animals? At creation, He created them and called them good. It's a world. When the Lord renews the world and brings about a new world, animals are present. And when the Lord renews people from sin, such as the Ninevites, the Lord even cares for animals. Should we not wonder then that at the birth of the last Adam, should we not expect a new creation? Should we not expect a new world? And should we not expect renewal? We then should not be surprised to hear of a place where one would expect animals to be present. From the beginning to the middle to this new world of the last Adam. Now, we must admit, contrary to many Christmas carols and Advent songs. There is no mention in this passage of oxen or asses being present or feeding. We are simply directed to a place for animals, but not a single animal is mentioned, nativity scenes notwithstanding. Not a single lamb other than the Lamb of God. Not a single goat. Not a single ox. However, there are animals present. There are animals present. It's just that the only animals that are actually mentioned, we are supposed to expect animals. The only animals that are specifically mentioned are not at the inn. They are out in the field. They are the flocks. The shepherds are tending to them. So the manger is mentioned three times because of newness. There's something new going on here, a new creation, a new world, and renewal. But the manger is also mentioned for the shepherds themselves. They were the first to receive the angelic announcement. This is amazing. The manger is mentioned for the shepherds. It's a sign for the shepherds. Verse 12, "And this will be a sign to you, shepherds. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Shepherds, go find the manger. Go find the baby in a place where you wouldn't expect a baby to be found. Go to this low place, shepherds. Oh, and as we consider the grand palace and the low entries, we ought to join together and be amazed with this passage before us one more time. We should remain amazed at this story, all according to a script, that the one who is actually the shepherd of Israel would be sought by shepherds in Israel. The very one who was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel is sought out by those who left their sheep to come and see him. So the manger is a sign, but the manger is also his calling. But last, it's not just that he was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. It's also that he was to give himself as the bread of life. It's that he's actually placed in a place that's for food for others. There is mystery here, truly. He takes flesh upon himself, human vesture, and he will offer his flesh, the Gospel of John says, as life for the world. This is the advent of the King. Thank you, Daniel. Well, the script of the story continues. There are some other sites, some of them recognized, somewhat known. We read this passage and we're nodding. Yes, that's familiar. But what about, what else? Is it truly a grand palace or is it just a low entry and I'm going to go down into some small shed? Well, our passage continues. There were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields. We nod. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, one angel of the Lord stood before them. And with angels usually come bright light and fear. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they trembled profoundly. Shepherds, they live in the dark. They live out there. They live amidst threats. And this brilliant light and a single angel makes them tremble. The angels must then say, "Stop trembling, do not be afraid, we have good news." And the good news is this. It's a gospel, it's good tidings of great joy for all people. For there is born to you, shepherds, this day, in the city of David, in the house of bread a Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And by the way, this is going to be the sign. One angel saying this, this will be the sign for you, shepherds. We want you, your commission, we want you to go look. This is the sign for you. You're going to find a babe, a little baby, wrapped in clothing. He's going to be lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly this singular angel was joined by an army of angels. That's what's meant by host, the heavenly host. An entire army of angels were present. And if they weren't, if they were afraid with just one angel, what would have happened now? The entire army of angels comes forward and they declare something that actually punctures Caesar's line, punctures Caesar's platform, because Caesar would have said, if you will honor me as your king, things will go well with you. You will have peace on this earth. And the angels declare in song, in chorus, glory to God in the highest, not Caesar Augustus, not Quirinius, not any other earthly emperor. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This is a kingly message, and that's why the army shows up. Angels show up. And so it was, and the angels go away from them. Notice plural angels in verse 15. Many angels, they leave, they go into the heavens. And the shepherds then said to one another, what are we doing here? Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this. Angels. We've gone from animals and now to angels. We've gone from that which is very familiar to, I'm not sure that I have seen the connections before of a new creation and a renewed world and the renewal from sin to now angels. The story is an angelic story. It's filled with angels. Zacharias, remember the priest, the elderly priest in the division of Abijah. It was his turn to go serve in the temple. And he meets, or is met by, the angel Gabriel. He trembles. He doesn't believe. He loses his speech. Mary, the virgin in Nazareth, to her also the angel Gabriel appears. Don't be afraid. You're favored. Joseph, he's asleep, he's having a dream, and an angel communicates to Joseph, don't be afraid to take your wife. Another angel appears to Joseph later. I want you to take Mary, your wife, and go to Egypt. When in Egypt, an angel appears to Joseph again and says, I want you to take your wife and the baby and leave Egypt. Angels and angels and angels. We should not be surprised that again we find angels here to the shepherds. Go and take a look. Find the feeding trough. Go to the place where you'd think animals would be present. What are the angels? They are heralds. They are the ones who make the declaration. They are the ones who precede and declare the coming of the king. These are the ones who are filled with wonder and song. These are the ones who sang at creation. Again, we're brought back to the first creation. Job, the Lord asks the questions, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Our Old Testament lesson. I'm going to take you back to creation. Tell me, Job, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? How is it held there? Who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It's a reference to the angelic host. The army of the Lord saying, wow, we need to sing about this. The angels sang at creation. It should not surprise us that they do so here at the presentation of the Creator. They sang at creation. It makes sense that they do so when the Creator invades His creation. Song then, song here. This is all about the advent of the King. Animals and angels. And the Bible, by the way, from beginning to end, is marked by animals and angels. In our New Testament reading today from Revelation 4, there were animal creatures present in that vision. John was invited to the throne room. John, come up, and this is what I saw. There was one seated upon a throne. This is kingly. And John reports what he sees, and he sees four living creatures, four animals. A lion, a calf or an ox, a man, and a flying eagle. Animals present at this throne room worship service. It was then that the strong angel in Revelation 5 proclaimed, Kerusso, same word that refers to John the Baptist proclaiming the kingdom. An angel proclaims with a loud voice. So here we have animal-like figures and an angel at this throne room, this kingly throne room of worship. And this angel declares with a loud voice, a great voice, who is worthy to open the scroll or to even look at it? None. So he begins to weep, and he weeps much. And it was then that there was one of the line and the house of David, one of the lineage of David, one of the kingly line came forth, and he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came forth and he was seen, and then this is what was seen by John the viewer. And I looked and I beheld, and one like a lamb who had been slain came forth, and he was able to open the scroll. The grandeur and the gritty. From creation to new world to renewal. From one who is going to come forth as a sign. One who is going to come forth, for it is his calling to be the shepherd. And one who is going to come forth and give himself as life for the world. In a feeding trough, in the most gritty, basic place one can imagine. So let us conclude. The advent of the King here. Our text begins with a decree from Caesar Augustus. That's a small, paltry decree, for there is going to be a greater word that's going to come forth in this passage, an eternal word. Not a decree of taxes and counting, but an eternal word that one cannot count due to the ages. This is the advent of the King. And so we should expect animals or an animal-like scene to be present, because this is a new creation, a new world, and He will bring renewal. And this is the advent of the King. For he is our shepherd, laid in a manger, sought by shepherds, and truly a gift, life for us. This is our meditation today, the fourth Sunday of Advent. We are to go forth, bearing his name, showing forth his light, for we are those of a great and lowly palace. We are of the house of God. We are the people of God. Let us go forth and bear his name to his honor. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.